Friday night, it is a gorgeous night. You know, it's chilly out, it's cold, but you know what? It's also fall. Halloween is coming, and yes, maybe you have to wear a coat over your very super cute Halloween costume, but you know what? We had so many great days in a row of beautiful weather. Thursday night was the, I think it was Thursday night or Wednesday night, was the coldest day since May. So you know what? We can handle this. Winter's going to come late. It's going to be what it's going to be. Enjoy these beautiful autumnal nights. I'm enjoying it because I am live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Joining me is Holly Simon, the creator, the CEO, the mastermind, the president of I Am Who I Am. And she has holidays coming up on November 4th. And I know I got your text. I know that like sometimes you text me and I'm like, I should probably should have responded to this. And then I was like, oh my God, Holly texted me. I have an event that night for
That's all right.
Where is the event for holiday celebrating so many things that are important
so
in your universe
things.
All of our universe.
Yes, and you know this is a Down Syndrome Awareness Month, although we don't really need awareness. They're so amazing.
No,
that we need better awareness.
I know what you mean, because yeah. When people will post on my wall about autism awareness and all these numbers and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I know the occurrence is 1 in 68 mm-hmm. for, you know, boys, yep. or whatever the numbers are. I'm like, just so you know, we're 100% in my house.
Yeah,
I'm fully aware of it. I know what you mean. But I think when you say Down syndrome awareness, it is being aware of what that means to have someone right. you love who has Down syndrome, who yeah. is, you know, you and I have talked a lot about when our sons were born and the reaction we got from people in our lives and the medical professionals, that sort of dour, sad.
Right.
I'm so sorry to tell you. Why don't you tell me? They can't. You know why? Do you know what part of it is? They don't know how great Nate's going to be.
Oh, totally. Totally.
They don't Nobody know. They don't know you, Nate.
The mayor of Chicago.
You know what we should do, Nate? Come closer to your microphone. Nate, we need to go see all your nurses and doctors and say, hey, stop saying I'm sorry.
They're all friends of ours now. Yeah, yeah. They don't say sorry anymore.
Yeah.
The ones we've had contact with, they don't say sorry anymore.
Is it because you're great?
Duh.
Yes.
But yes. You know, the reality of having a child with Down syndrome is the fact that he's with me at 11:10 at night because I didn't have a sitter. That's the reality.
Sorry about that.
No, this is our life.
You couldn't
count on it. This is our life. Yeah. But okay, so next Saturday, Cork and Carrie up on the south side and Barney Callahan's, we're going to do a Holly Hop. And I pimp out my name as much as I can for Holly Days, Holly Hop. 6 to 10, we're going to have incredible vendors. I think we're up to 20. And they're all unique this year, and they're mostly handcrafted. And several of them come from children with different abilities that run their own company.
Well, and you have a great company. I have my husband was like, why are all these soaps down here? I go, those are bath bombs. Back off. Well, that's what I love about how creative you are, finding solutions, seeing a problem and going, I know how I can help.
Right.
And that's why I invited our next guest as well, Jason Sicelli, who's in studio, is an Eagle Scout who I met at Equestrian Connections Marty's Barn Party 2 weeks ago tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. I asked him before the show if he had listened to my show at all to see what it was like. The one thing I'm going to tell you is come close to your microphone. Nate, same thing for you. Just get all, don't even be afraid to touch it. Just it's all good. Jason, you have decided to take it upon yourself to do something very important for Equestrian Connection. Tell us a little bit about, because people who aren't familiar with Equestrian Connection, mm-hmm. it is a hippotherapy facility that
yes.
helps veterans, people with disabilities, work with horses and develop core strength, mobility, eye-hand coordination. And what have you taken upon yourself to do?
Yeah, so I'm a member of a local Boy Scout troop, and for my Eagle project, I'm going to be building a sensory trail for this organization. So I'll be building on a trail, there's going to be five stations that the rider, when they're riding their horse, they'll be able to interact with the stations as they go along. And as you gave some examples, they'll be able to exercise their sensory abilities. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's really cool. There's an auditory aspect to it because you have, like, these mm-hmm. pipes that make noise, like chimes. Because, yeah. mm-hmm. Holly, you and I, when our boys were smaller, Nate, you had to go through all this, all the skill games that everybody had you doing, right?
Yes.
When someone like Jason comes along and switches up the game, I mean, that's so important. Mm-hmm. It really makes a difference. And, Nate, it might just seem like another – because Declan will, like, just take a nap. What kind of things did you do, Nate, when someone asked you to do, like, some of these – eye-hand coordination things, like they want you to do, like lacing. Do they make you do like the lacing stuff?
Yes.
And then he just gets slip-on shoes.
Yeah, because why? It gets frustrating, right? Because it gets old, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? We pick our battles.
Yes.
So, you know, tying the shoe isn't really that important, but being a gold medalist in golf is.
What? See?
Yeah. Wow.
When did you start playing golf, Nate?
I played for 9 years.
For 9 years?
Yes.
How many holes? All 18 holes?
Yes.
I can't do that. You know what? Do you know what I do when I play golf? I cut the grass around the ball. Do you ever play golf, Jason?
No. Not enough. Not enough.
Yeah, I can't do it. Are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay. Then you have an edge there because lefties have a tough time finding golf clubs. Yeah. How about you, Nate? Left-handed or right-handed?
Right.
Okay, fine then. Mm-hmm. My excuse is that I'm left-handed, and I'm sticking to it. Do you golf at all, Holly?
I ride the cart.
I have cute skirt. I have the cutest skirt and golf shoes, absolutely.
I'm sure you do. Yeah, no, golf's not my thing.
That's not your thing? All right.
Yay. I like to create companies, like our new company. I'm so excited about Patty.
Yes, what's the website for your company?
www.iam-whoiam.com. Mm-hmm. And we have, we've merged with another product company, and I can't wait to show you these things. The products are incredible. The kids came out for the first time to sell their wares a couple weeks ago at the Beverly Art Walk.
Oh, cool.
And I'm telling you, Patty, I sat back and I've never been so proud watching these kids sell. I mean, they were maniacs. They were incredible.
And that's the thing, too. Like, that's such an important component of what you do and getting their word out. Right. How do they respond to having to, like, have a booth or sit at a table?
The pride was infectious. At the end of the day when they get paid, mm-hmm. It was like Christmas. And the one little boy, he's not little, he's a teenager, he said to me, you know, Holly, this is my favorite job. I said, how many do you have? He said, three. This is my
what?
Third.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Three jobs.
You know, kids don't all have it that easy.
No.
So he said, this is my favorite. And I said, why? And he said, because it's so fun.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not easy to stand there with strangers coming by and having to describe what you're doing, which is why I stopped at Jason's booth. He had a table at the Equestrian Connection mm-hmm. event a couple weeks ago. Did you have people stopping and asking you about what your plan was for the sensory trail?
Yeah, I had so many people coming over. I had a nice little poster up explaining everything about my project, and I actually raised over $1,000.
And what was tell everybody what your goal was, by the way.
My goal was $950.
It was. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you work for me, please? Do you have available time on your schedule?
Yeah,
you are
kidding.
So eloquent as well. He's beautiful. Speaking voice, doesn't he?
Thank you so much.
And
so,
no, you're wonderful.
It was a pleasure to meet him. And his dad was like, well, because I stopped and I wanted to talk to you. And I haven't had a chance to post our photo. I will post, mm-hmm. so we'll link it with this podcast as well. And I was just so impressed with, where did you get the idea? I was impressed with the fact that you took it upon yourself to do this. And I know there have been a couple of these in other places. What made you decide to do this for Equestrian Connection?
Well, actually, my next door neighbors, they are avid volunteers at this organization, and my mom recommended that I talk with my neighbor to see if there's any opportunities at this organization, and they gave me some possible projects that I could work
on. Like a wish list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one really just caught my eye because there was so much variety and I felt like it would have the best impact on the organization. And I'm really looking forward to see how it plays out.
It broadens what they do there. Have mm-hmm. you said you've never taken Nate for hippotherapy?
Wow.
Nate, tell your mom. I know. Now I'm going to be like, I'm going to be the bad influence.
No.
The bad aunt.
You don't want to go horseback riding, Nate?
I do.
He does.
You do?
But you know my thoughts on this. I'm sorry. I know it's great therapy and it's phenomenal. And he actually goes to a high school that has horses.
And you won't let him do it there?
Well, Okay. I'm going to come up with like a suit that he can put on so he doesn't smell when he comes home. I'm sorry. That's the truth. I'm telling
have
the
you,
truth.
Have you gone riding?
A few times.
And do you, Mom, Dad, does he smell when he comes home like
tell
horses?
The truth. Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
You just told me out there. Wait a minute. You have two. Wait. Oh, the brother and sister smell, but he doesn't.
When we take Declan horseback, actually, Griffin and Declan used to do sibling rides at Equestrian Connection because they do that there too. It's not that bad.
No, it's supposed to be phenomenal. Seriously. I'm afraid of horses,
it's like,
I think.
It's like you smell too good. Like you always exude like this. I'm just saying. And you, so anything that permeates that, you're like, this is disrupting.
It's in my nose.
Disrupting the purity of my
this
smell.
Is disrupting Holly's world.
Holly's world is disrupted. Exactly. If I can be an advocate for Nate to go, just to try it out.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Yeah, use a bath bomb afterwards.
You guys are all like ganging up.
Nate, have you used one of the bath bombs?
I haven't.
No, why not? Tell me why.
I don't know.
No? Do you want to?
I do.
Well, why can't do you know?
Oh,
what?
For the love of God, he's used a bath bomb. He just doesn't. He just wants to just say everything opposite. He's
being contrarian tonight.
He thinks it's funny. He's just being, you know,
opposite
Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
All right, then fine. Yeah. Fine.
Yes.
I'll find some more.
My mom is wrong.
Your mom's. Well, I have to give him more swag. I have to give him more swag. Is that what it is?
Well, this goes against the whole like everyone with Down syndrome is always like really nice and happy and in a good mood. This is like the reason why we're on tonight because it's almost the end of Down syndrome awareness. And the truth is, they're human beings just like everybody else. And he's crabby as
Nate. Are you saying you're not like everybody else?
My mom is.
Your mom is like everybody else, and you're not. Or your mom is. Your mom's crabby.
She is.
Right. He is so snarky. Why are you feeding the beast?
All right, let me go find some more swag in my office
poking
for him.
The bear.
I'm going to poke the bear more with our guests Jason, Nate, and Holly when we come back on 720 WGN. Do I have two of these? Oh.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
Halloween is upon us. Holly, are you doing anything for Halloween? Holly Simon, creator of I Am Who I Am, CEO, mastermind, genius behind I Am Who I Am.
I love you. Have I said that lately? I'm not doing anything, I don't think, for Halloween. I used to dress up when the kids are little. Listen, I'm in over my head right now. I'm running this bath and body company. I've got 4 kids out of 5 living at home.
Oh, my God.
I know. They're coming up like costumes at the last minute. Like, Mom, I want to be, you know, Britney Spears. Do you have a snake? I'm like, hold on. Let me go get one.
I don't always think of snake when I think of Britney Spears.
You know why?
But
she like did some award show and she had this big python.
I saw it. Yeah. It was a sad performance. Jason Scully, who is the Eagle Scout, is creating a sensory trail around the Equestrian Connection. By the way, can people still donate to help you, you know?
Yes, people can still donate.
Where do they go to donate?
They go to his house. They go straight to his house. His dad's going to give you the address now.
Can they contact? I probably should have. I probably should have been like. And by the way, we're going to have an opportunity for people to donate. Is there? Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what's your Facebook page? Do you want them to go there, or is it a private page? Mom and Dad are like, let's figure this out before the next segment. Can they contact Equestrian Connection?
You know, they can actually email me.
Okay, yes.
At my email address, jasonsekili@gmail.com. That's jasonsekili at gmail.com.
And that gives us an opportunity for me to get his name right. So
yeah, you're just awesome. I'm so impressed with you.
Oh, thank you
so
much.
You're just so eloquent and well.
I'm impressed with everybody in the studio tonight, including our overly swagged guest, Nate the Great. Nate came in and was saying that Frank Fontana was his favorite host on WGN Radio because apparently he let him wear his sunglasses or some such. And I said, hold on a second, I have stuff to give you. And so far, I've given them.
I'm eating cookies.
Yes. So Frank, you're out. Patty's in.
They are my raspberry. Please help yourself, Jason, and your parents as well.
Thank you so
I have
much.
Raspberry Milano cookies as well as some candies from Apt Electronics. Apt always sends me all the like Hershey's chocolates. So I've got special dark and milk chocolate.
Frank, who?
I'm saying.
Montana.
Fontana. Montana.
Montana.
Yeah, what's that girl's
name? So it's Jason Sekili at which?
At gmail.com.
It's JASONSEKILI. L-I-L-I. Oh, just one L.
Yes, okay. One I.
I was working my way through it. S-E-K-I-L-I.
Yes.
At gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And you can contact him about how to get involved with the sensory trail that he is creating for Equestrian Connection.
Yeah, we're always accepting donations.
It's such a cool idea that you have.
It's awesome.
What are you doing for Halloween?
Well, I'm actually involved with my high school's musical, The King and I. So I'm going to be having a late dress rehearsal that evening.
Just keep the costume on, right?
Yeah, sneak out.
You're so cheating. What are you playing in The King and I?
I'm playing Louis Leonowens.
Okay. And what kind of wardrobe is Louis wearing?
He's wearing a suit jacket.
Okay.
The whole show, basically.
So can he be a zombie when you're done? So when you leave, you do like zombie, like vampire, like maybe vampire suit guy?
Add some makeup on.
Exactly. Just do it that way.
Yeah.
Nate, how about you? What do you want to dress up for Halloween as? Are you doing Halloween?
No.
All right,
he just left a Halloween party. He was an old man. Mm. Yeah.
Eating cookies.
He's just going to stay up on sugar now all night.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks, Frank Frontiano.
Yeah, I blame Frank for this. Thank you. I appreciate
Thank you
that.
Very much.
I can be way cooler than any other host.
Gosh.
I'm just saying.
Feed
just,
my child with... Okay. We need to talk about the Bath and Body Products line, though, because I have to ask Chicago for a favor.
Okay, what's your favorite?
Okay, so we're in this store right now called Murray's Brows and Brew in Evergreen Park. It's a coffee shop, and they sell local wares, and we're doing phenomenal. But I want Chicagoans that own stores or have anything to do with a store, boutique, grocery store, to carry the products that these kids are managing. I think we could really blow up and give more opportunities for our teens and adults with special abilities to grow and to foster jobs and friendships.
That's wonderful.
I know.
And how do people get, like, can they go to the website for the coffee shop?
And you know what? They can text me. They can even call me. Yeah, I know. We've given my phone number out many times, but it's okay. 773-547-3300. And
I'm going to text you right now and see if that's true.
We want
Wait,
your...
hold on a second. Is that really?
It's Christian Mingles.
Oh, my.
Sorry, I was kidding. And I'm Jewish.
What was that name again? What was the number?
773-547-3300. If you're a business, boutique, grocery store, any type of store that you can carry our products in to help our children, again, foster relationships, social skills. There's so many things.
Oh, it did light up. Your phone. I was waiting for your phone to light up, just so you know.
It's my first date.
It's so seriously.
Christian Mingle.
We are going to, I feel like it's true love. We're hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Holly Simon, Nate the Great, Jason Sakili, who is an Eagle Scout who is creating a sensory trail at Equestrian Connection. You can help him reach his goal by emailing him at jasonsakili@gmail.com. That's S-E-K-I-L-I @gmail.com. How do people get information about Holly Days coming up?
Well, after they call me on that number, text me. They can email me at iam-whoiam.com. We're on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
Cool.
Please do. We really want this to grow, and we're always looking for ideas. And now we have one.
Excellent.
So we need people to kind of help us.
Yeah, we have to spread the word, you know, spread the creativity.
Right. Spread the love.
All the love.
Our kids are worthy.
We need so much of the love.
Right?
Right, Nate?
No.
All right, then. Right. Why is he doing this?
Because he can.
How much swag do I have to give him?
Keep going.
How much?
200.
200 oh pieces of swag. I'm not going to get there. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live at the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm basically just giving Holly, Jason, and Nate everything out of my office. I mean, there's some things I'm holding back. I receive a lot of books from authors, so I'm giving you a couple of them. I have I have boxes full of, of books that I want to get to someday. Do you get a chance to read a lot, Jason?
I don't. I'm so busy with schoolwork, but...
None of those are book assignments?
Yes, there's book assignments that I
do. So you don't read for fun anymore?
No fun reading, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
I wish.
Do you read for fun anymore, Holly?
I do. I read People Magazine. Weekly.
All right, we're going to my office and pick something out for
and
you.
And then my book. I'm going to reread my book because it was so good.
I Am Who I Am.
Yeah.
I can't read my own stuff.
Really?
I can't. No, I write it and I send it out there, and then I gotta be done with it. I'll go back. I'll go back and look at something and just for a point of reference. Do you ever go over like your old homework, Jason? Nate, do you ever like look at your old stuff?
No.
You know what I had to do last week? I went and spoke in front of 300 women, breast cancer survivors, and I had to write a 40-minute speech.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, that was the hardest thing to read.
Well, you also don't know what the pace is, how long 40 minutes is per page. Like, it's just kind of hard to get
that
done.
I taped it on my phone. I did. Yeah, I nailed it. I nailed the sadness. I nailed it and put
you
in some
humor.
You
also probably nailed the badassery.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry, Jason, tell your parents that I don't usually swear.
Everybody crying. Everybody, especially Nate. Yeah. He was bawling.
Aww.
Yeah. But so that's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Thank you for bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Is also this month, and we want to make sure everybody gets their mammogram. Mm-hmm. I know, fun stuff. But
do some self-examination.
Reality, yeah.
Do that. And I was talking about this with Dr. Sandy Goldberg earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so different now. There are so many tools out there for people to find out. You can just even get a video of how to do a self-exam.
Right.
Talk to your doctor. Say, I want to get a screening.
Right.
Take care of yourself. Because that's the thing. Tell your mom to take care of herself, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Men too, though. This isn't something that doesn't happen to men.
I can't answer for them.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. No, 10% of breast cancer patients are men.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Isn't that surprising?
I never knew that.
No, oh, yeah. Now you do.
Because men have breast tissue, so that is something that also can happen.
But be self-aware. Just, you know, take a look once in a while.
Yeah.
Sometimes you try not to look. I get it. I didn't for 50 years, and then I looked. I'm like, oh, crap, what is that?
Right.
And then I luckily detected it myself. But I really want everybody to be proactive.
Well, it's got to be so scary, too, because, I mean, like, I'm trying to remember when I was a teenager. Like, does Nate tell you when he's not feeling well and, like, when he wants to go see the doctor or...
No.
Because I remember you showed some photos earlier in the year when Nate was not feeling quite Nate great.
Yeah.
Nate does not want to think about that. I apologize.
He gets real verklempt right now. He gets, he
does,
like...
Just talk about it.
You talk about it.
It was bad.
Was it bad?
You posted photos of him being home from school for days and days and days.
Oh, gosh. I try to forget those. Are you serious? He cries and he's crabby, and then you know something's wrong. Probably just like with Declan. Like, you don't...
Yes.
Declan can't tell you, but he can show you, and then you know something's up. So he'll act crabbier than normal.
Jason, do you ever, when you know you're not feeling well, do you go to school anyway, or do you like to stay home?
I try to go to school because I don't want to miss out on anything important, but if it's really bad, I'll skip a day or two.
Have you had perfect attendance ever?
No, I think there's always one day that I miss. Yeah,
I'm the same way. I remember my son wanted to have perfect attendance,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, "Oh, sweetie, we are not perfect attendance people." I don't know how to tell you that, but Griffin is gone since first grade. He's,
no way,
yeah, really?
Wow.
I don't know about that. I think there's a certain amount of I don't know that it's necessary, but he's got whatever.
Did you rebel?
I know.
Good kid. Stop being good.
No, but I mean, there was a day where he wasn't feeling well, and Steve said, "Do you want to stay home?" And Griffin's like, "I think I want to stay home." And then Griffin was struggling with it, and he was like, "I want to go to school." And they got to the property, and Griffin goes, "Daddy, I really don't feel good." And so Steve picked him up. He was only like 7 at the time. Steve picked him up to go back to the car, and Griffin grabbed onto the fence and went, and he went, "But perfect attendance."
Right. He's taking it too far.
I'm saying that's a little bit too much. Jason, if you're not feeling well, stay home.
Right.
Nate,
if
you're not feeling well, stay
home. No, I have to go to school.
Why? Just to say no.
It's important.
It is. Mm-hmm. He's right. It is important.
Yeah, he loves school.
But what if you're getting other kids sick? Isn't that dangerous, too?
That's a good point.
Listen, Nate eats fuzz. So, I mean, he's sick every day. So we have to, you gotta, again, pick your battles. How sick are you?
Yeah. Well, everyone in my studio is delightful tonight. I hope everyone's feeling well. Holly Simon has holidays coming up on November 4th. What can people expect? I know there's some great, a lot of great jewelry, all your holiday shopping. I have bought jewelry and beautiful sweaters there and a handbag I bought.
Oh,
it was really
cool. We've got some great artists this year. Again, they're all unique and they're all handmade.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of teens and adults that have their own business. We have Kelly Neville coming. She has Down syndrome, but she runs a business that makes jewelry, and she's phenomenal.
Oh, that's
she's
wonderful.
Been with us for the last 8 years. Please come out, you guys. Come and have a beer, some laughs, meet some friends.
And where is it again?
Cork and Kerry, that's in Beverly on the south side.
South side.
And we're hopping over to the bar next door called Barney Callahan's. From 6 to 10, there is no fee to get in. We just want you to come and shop and meet someone new and ask a question, extend your hand, and make a new friend.
Excellent. I love that you're doing that. And Jason is gathering the funding to create a sensory trail at Equestrian Connection. And people can go to Jason Sakili. Sorry, I apologize.
Sakili, oh,
Sakili at gmail.com. That's S-E-K-I-L-I. And, you know, when you're putting this together, I know that you showed me sort of the pattern, you know, other sensory trails that have been created.
Yeah.
Who have you talked to around the country as far as like how this goes and what to put into it?
Well, I'm in the beginning process of getting everything together, but I found out recently that there's actually one near Equestrian Connection, so I plan on meeting with the owners of that organization as soon as possible so I can see if they have any recommendations as to the stations that I'm planning on building.
Well, you're doing way more than I was doing when I was your age. How old are you, Jason?
I'm 15.
15, and how long have you been in the Boy Scouts?
Well, I've been in Cub Scouts since first grade.
Okay.
And I'm forgetting which year you transfer from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts.
I can't remember. I think for like cadets or Girl Scouts, I think it's like Brownies and Girl Scouts, then cadets. I think cadets are like start at 14. So like maybe for the last couple of years, you've been an Eagle Scout?
Yeah, maybe like 4 years I've been in Boy Scouts.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what has been one of your favorite things about being in the Boy Scouts?
Well, last year I had the privilege of being a counselor at a leadership training course in Wisconsin. So I'd say that's the best memory I have. It was super fun. I definitely grew in my leadership skills.
That's great.
So, yeah.
I love that. Now, have you had a chance to go camping and things like that, too?
Yeah, I've gone camping way too much.
All right, so what is your favorite? So, because my favorite way to build a fire is I prefer the A-frame. Do you prefer an A-frame, the log frame? What's your go-to on a fire building?
Probably the log cabin.
You like the log better?
It really depends on, you know,
the
weather,
wind. Yep.
Everything.
I like matches. I was thinking matches or
you gotta have
Bic.
Can't go wrong with that.
You gotta have your kindling.
I like the long Bic, you know, the really long one that you just go, it's like a shoots like a rifle. That's how I do a fire.
Oh, you gotta come fire building with me and Jason.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
You gotta have your kindling, your tinder, and
Then you just start getting small sticks.
And then you build on that.
I've never been camping.
We have to take you camping. We'll go glamping. We can go glamping.
Will be funny. If you and I go camping, it would be funny.
We'll go glamping.
We'll do our own show.
I'm just saying. Yeah,
from the road.
From the middle of nowhere.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't do too much camping, Jason, because there comes a point, and your mom and dad will test this, where you don't have enough time. So do it all. Enjoy it. And keep doing it as you get older.
Definitely.
And then be with somebody who likes it, too. that's the key. Like, my husband's like, this is like the scene out of a horror movie. We went camping one time, and we've been together for 21 years, and we have not done it since.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, or somebody who doesn't mind if you're going to leave for a few days.
Yeah.
Hey. I went camping once. It was a Holiday Inn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because that's camping.
Jason, it has been a pleasure. I want to find out how this turns out. We'll have you back as you're in the process
definitely.
Of building the sensory trail. Thank you to your parents for bringing you down late on a
Thank
Friday night.
Thank you so
night.
Much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Again, it's Jason Sakili at gmail.com. That's J-A-S-O-N-S-E-K-I-L-A at gmail.com. Help him build the sensory trail at Equestrian Connection. There are veterans and there are people with disabilities who benefit tremendously from all the great programs they have at Equestrian Connection. Thank you so much, Jason. Holidays is coming up. Go to I am-whoiam.com and go see this great, go shopping, get all your shopping done, have some laughs, have a great beer.
Thank you.
Nate, did I give you enough stuff? Do you like me better than Frank Fontana now?
No.
Okay. More after this on 720 WTN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Every Friday night, it's time for Wine and Wind Down. And joining me on the line is Susan Dannenberger, Illinois' premier winemaker. I'm just going to say premier. Can I say premier? I think that's appropriate, don't you think, Susan?
It sounds fantastic. I love it.
I like it. Thank you so much for being patient. We had so many people in the studio. I wanted to get their stories out. We had Holly Simon.
I listened. It was fantastic.
I thought you might be okay with that. I didn't want to like have you on the line and not be able to talk to you because you have an assignment, and I'm not sure what you decided to go with. Elliot Serrano, who was not feeling well, said he wanted to know what your Netflix and wine would be. I think it was Netflix and wine, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So what?
I had to research it diligently this week.
I love that.
It was tough.
What is our inaugural Netflix and wine? What was a series that you picked, first of all?
So who doesn't love Orange is the New Black?
I mean, love Orange is the New Black.
That one's pretty popular.
How many seasons have you had a chance?
I tried it.
Uh-huh.
I've watched all of them. I can't stop watching it. Every time it comes on, I have to turn it on. So bad. So I tried a couple of my reds with a couple of the shows, and I found that, you know, they have a lot of hooch going on in there.
Yep.
And I thought that the Rouge worked the best with that show. Every once in a while when there was something gripping going on, you know, like, well, I guess I shouldn't give away anything, so I shouldn't probably
how one of the women will like bury some of the like ferment stuff in the ground.
Yes.
Right? Yes, she gets like fruit, and I'm not sure what else she mixes in there, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of elements of booze going on in the show.
Well, I figured the Rouge is easy drinking for that show. There's nothing too intense. You don't need something really, you know, grippy or super earthy for that show. It needs to be just a super friendly drinking wine to go with that show, I think.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about Rouge, because I'm such a red wine girl that I know, like, I have an idea of like my Pinots and Syrahs and Cabernets and all, you know, Merlots. What's a Rouge? Like, what kind of grape goes into that, and what's the process?
So my Rouge is always a blend of five grapes in its Syrah, which I grow in the Washington State Vineyard, and then the other four grapes are French hybrids that I grow here, Marquette, Arundel, Oberlin Noir, and Marcel Foch.
Okay.
And they are rustic, kind of rustic red grapes.
Ooh.
So the Rouge is very fruit. It is dry. It's always dry. All my reds are dry. It's very fruit forward. It's super friendly. It's kind of one of those wines that if you went into a restaurant and you're like, I'm not sure what I'm going to eat, but I just need a dry red wine that I'm going to enjoy, that would be the choice.
Okay.
So,
interesting. I don't think I've ever ordered a Rouge, and now like all of a sudden I have a taste for it. And I love that you're like tasting wines while you're watching Orange is the New Black. Like, what's the right pairing for this? But it is. And the point of that, because, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, food pairings, and, you know, we'll even on this show, we'll do Halloween candy with wine and what goes well with it. But there's also a mood that you can sort of pair with a wine, too. I think that's definitely the case. I mean, like, when I'm watching, what was the advertising show? Now I can't remember the name of the John Hamm show that everybody loved on AMC. Why am I blanking on the 19th?
Oh, Mad Men.
Mad Men. It was like something. I mean, like, you kind of want to have a glass of scotch with that. I mean, there's just something about it.
Yeah.
Right? You want to have a rocks glass of something hard, or maybe a martini. But when you're watching something like Orange is the New Black, I love the idea of having a you know, something that you said it has. Now, rustic red grapes, are those a little bit more tangy? Or what's the differentiation in that?
I would say that a rustic red grape reminds you of like the old Italian wines that maybe your grandpa's neighbor used to make back in the day. Kind of reminds you of those kind of wines. Do you ever have any memories of stuff like that?
I do. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So
you get that like lots of fruit forward and a little bit boozy kind of profile.
I love that. I love that it's Rouge with Orange is the New Black. So if you're sitting down to watch Orange is the New Black, you want to pick up a bottle of Dannenberger Family Vineyards Rouge. And is there a name for your Rouge?
That's the name, Rouge.
It's Rouge. Hello. And that one's available online. If you haven't had a chance to listen to our conversations with Susan Dannenberger, she is the mastermind behind Dannenberger Family Vineyards. And I'm never going to get tired of the story of your husband buying you a wine kit, and you're like, I could do better than this. And all of a sudden you have an empire. I'm just saying, that's an amazing story.
Thank you.
So we have another assignment for you, and I don't know if Elliot, he just texted me, he wasn't feeling great, so he didn't come in tonight, but he wants to know, one, have you watched the show Stranger Things?
I just started delving into it, yes.
Okay, so I think that's your assignment because it just came back into the second season just started. So can we assign you your next episode with the pairing for next week?
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Sounds tough.
I know, but here's the thing. Here's the elements to it, right? It's a 1980s sort of, you know, obviously it is not just sort of, it is a 1980s based show. There's a mom who's stressed out all the time. Maybe that helps, right? You kind of have this rather hardened cop. You have this mysterious government element to it. So I think there's a lot of different ways to go with the wine pairing on it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be season to season. You have to change it up a little bit.
Ooh, yes. Well, since you're in season one, let's go with that first. So that is your assignment. I'm so glad you stayed up late with us. I want to encourage everyone to visit your website. Can you tell people what your website is again so they can visit and maybe do a little holiday shopping?
Oh, sure. DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com.
Excellent. And they're down in New Berlin, Illinois. It's right by Springfield, and it's a great road trip. They have a few more bands left. If you're in the area, by the way, on the 28th, which is tomorrow, they have Halloween with Naughty and Nice, and then the Deep Hollow on the 29th. And then coming up on November 4th is Capital Sound, because they're not just a vineyard, they're a destination. They've got music. They've got just a great time at the vineyards. Susan, have a wonderful weekend.
Some of your listeners came down last Saturday for Grape Stompy.
What? See, this is what I love. We're making friends all over the place. Aw, Susan, I love hearing that. Thank you for saying, honestly, I thank you for staying up late and being patient with our lateness.
Oh, thanks, Patty.
Thank you. And follow them on Instagram. It's DFV on Instagram and Twitter. Have a great weekend, Susan. We'll talk to you next Friday and find out what's going to go with
all
Stranger
right.
Things. Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. My political roundtable. It's Freak Out Friday. It's not a political roundtable. It's just we just talk about the crazy things that have happened all week, whether it's politics or culture or what's in the news. But we temper that a little bit. We sprinkle in some wonderful music, and we're thrilled to welcome Kip Russell. They've got a new album dropping on November 6th,
yes.
And there will be some free coffee available.
Free coffee and donuts from Beaver's Coffee in Metropolis around the city. So we're excited about it.
Coffee and donuts. Man, yep. Now I'm hungry and thirsty for all those good things. Here they are with the first single on that new album, Morning Coffee.
All right.
One, two, three.
Let this morning cup of coffee start out my perfect day. Kiss my girl up on her forehead and watch her walk away. And before my day gets hectic and there's too much on my checklist, this morning cup of coffee
starts out my perfect day.
Put my jacket on back and I head to the car, kick the snow off the tire and hope that she starts. Let the engine get warm and I turn the radio up, the radio up. A little sublime works every time. If I close my eyes I can see the sunshine, even though I know I still got 40 more hours to go. These moments are mine, a gift for my mind, a mental vacation, a pause from the grind. Friday is my day to leave all the BS behind, but it's Monday, so this morning cup of coffee starts out my perfect day. Kiss my body on the forehead and watch her walk away. And before my day gets hectic and there's too much on my checklist, this morning cup of coffee, yeah, starts out my perfect
while
day.
I'm sipping, I'm sitting in traffic, I'm thinking about skipping, but I know my boss, he be tripping.
I just sit back, relax, soak it all up, soak it all up. Let's go back in time, last Friday night, me and the boys had the time of our lives. Today I'll be punching that clock on that 9 and that 5, 9 and that 5. This moment's all by, in a blink of an eye, can't spend your life asking why. It's Sunday, but Monday I'll leave all this BS behind. But it's Monday, so this morning cup of coffee starts out my perfect day. Kiss my Patty on the forehead and watch her walk away. And before my day gets hectic and it's too much on my checklist, this morning cup of coffee, yeah, starts out my perfect day. Hey, hey. Starts out my perfect day. Hey, hey. Starts out my perfect day. It's Sunday, but Monday I'll leave all this BS behind. But it's Monday, so this morning cup of coffee starts out my perfect day. Kiss my girl on the forehead and watch her walk away. And before
before my day gets hectic, and it's too much on my checklist. This morning cup of coffee, yeah, starts out my perfect day.
All right. That was great.
That awesome. Was Kip Russell with a Morning Cup of Coffee. Morning Coffee, and their album is coming out on November 6th, which is the Sweet Spot of Life.
Yes.
What website can they go to?
They can go to sweetspotoflife.com. It'll be available there or any of my websites, which is just Kid Russell, two S's, two L's.
Spotify, iTunes,
all good stuff. Yeah, Vivo.
Always going to let people know that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you are a new papa. How old is Ripley?
Riley.
Riley, I'm sorry.
But that's a badass
I was Googling Ripley earlier today. I was trying to find it. Anyway, so how old is Riley?
Riley's a year and a half old. I literally just put her to bed before I came here, and she passed out. My dad's watching her. Chuck Russell, Dad, thanks for watching her. And then I shot over here. My wife's actually watching the Busta Rhymes concert right now. So
great is that?
It's her birthday, so she's getting wild.
So you're Kip Russell.
Yes, I'm Kip Russell.
And you are?
I'm Nick Pavetta.
Nick Pavetta?
Yes.
And where are you from originally?
I am from Springfield, Illinois.
Come closer to your microphone.
I'm from Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah. And what brought you to Chicago? Music?
I came up to school at DePaul, actually.
All right.
So I did my 4 years at DePaul. Met him along the way.
Excellent.
Yeah. Play a bunch of shows at Reggie's in Lincoln Hall with some of my friends that are big bands like Schwayze and Jeezy and stuff like that. And Nick was in the audience, sent me some music. I said, "You're fantastic. Let's get together." And he produced half this record.
Oh, so cool. Yeah. And now as a papa, we on Friday nights, we do what we call a Freak Out Friday.
Yep.
And and we decided to mix music in with it so that we can kind of balance out all the crazy.
Yeah.
Being the father of this is something that people have been saying, right, over the last few weeks is, as a father, Matt Damon was one of the first people that said, as a father, I am horrified by these kinds of things. How come men just aren't horrified by the Me Too thing?
I'm horrified as a son.
Fair. All right.
I'm horrified as a driver.
Right. As a human. As a human.
Yeah, exactly. Why be horrified now?
Right.
Yeah. Why not horrified years ago?
Well, you and I have had car. We drove down to Springfield, and I've told you some of my stories, and you kind of just shake your head. And is it partly because I think my tone is kind of like, yeah, that's what happens. Because I remember when I would tell people about, you know, having my ass grabbed or my boob rubbed or comments that were made. I think that part of it is because I've had to do it for 20 some years.
Make it right.
It doesn't. Not that it makes it right, but when I tell you those stories, I think it's also the way we start. Women are so matter of fact about them. We've compiled them, and it's part of our story, and we're not looking for you guys to step in and do anything, but it's so weird right now that like people are outraged. We've been telling a lot of you these stories for a long. I've told both of you. I don't know that I told Ken. I told Ken some of these.
I think it's the power of the written word.
Yeah.
When you hear it, you kind of automatically discount it a little because it just seems fanciful.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read the stories that have come out, and there have been so many of them,
right?
I think at least 11 very powerful guys have lost their jobs in the last 10, 12 days. You read the paragraph, you read it again, you think about it, and it's like, wow. And it really sinks in. When you hear it, there's always kind of a, at least for me, there's a little bit of a, well, this is emotional. It may not be quite like that. And then you only hear one little story. You're not talking to 35 people who are telling you the different things that a particular person did. These stories that have come out, I as I've said before, have had a profound impact on me. I've never in my wildest dreams would I've ever thought that guys would even contemplate doing what these clowns have done. This is unbelievable to me. And it's horrifying. And I'll never again ever doubt anything a woman says. I'll immediately go right to this.
I'm going
to
make sure Julie knows that, Ken, that you'll never doubt anything a woman says.
Not when it comes to this. No, well, not when it comes to this.
Yes, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I have... anybody who's been in and around Springfield, sorry, that's your birthplace, but anybody who's been in and around Springfield in the political world knows it's like one giant, disgusting frat party in the worst frat on campus, because the culture down there is all about sex. You're either, okay, which legislator are you sleeping with, which lobbyist are you sleeping with, et cetera, et cetera. And there are people you're around.
Just because, Eric, you and I have spent a little more, I've only spent the last three sessions down there in the spring, and I always hear rumors. I don't necessarily, there's only been one legislator that I've had to, like, really strong arm. But I mean, there's, to me, Eric, it always seems like it's rumors rather than things that I've, maybe because I'm a broadcaster, everyone, like, hides it more for me? Has that been your experience in Springfield?
Yeah, I mean, you see it, and you see it in the restaurants or, you know, after dinner cocktail or something, even at some of the receptions. It's just, it seems...
A lot of sex.
It's very prevalent.
Oh, and, yeah. But see,
no,
I think...
not so much, but I mean, it's just even the little innuendo, the little jokes and things like that.
Well, that's constant, yeah.
And it's constant, but it's not just Springfield. You know, it's Washington. It's anywhere there's power. People who have power and or perceived power. Mm-hmm. And that's a real problem.
Which
that's,
is any workplace, which is any waitress who correct. Has a table on which her tips depend. And
yes,
any,
right.
You know, a bartender who has to smile and play nice with people because she wants to make sure they tip her well.
But to your point earlier, Patty, you know, I've witnessed this with a certain legislative leader who was alluded to in the letter earlier this week. That came out about Springfield. And I've been with a young woman lobbyist, and this legislative leader was hitting on her in a really obnoxious kind of way. And, you know, she laughs it off. She
yeah.
deals with him all the time. She's like,
safe.
Oh, that's just blank. Right. And I'm
right.
not going
right.
to name names on
the
show.
Air.
But, you know, that's just blank. And, you know, I could deal with blank. But he's all over her every single freaking time. He's married. And you look at this guy and you go like, you're disgusting. You're yeah. a scumbag. Stop.
I wonder if people are saying that now on this last week in Springfield. I wish I'd been able to go down to see what the tone was like.
Well, I've heard the tone is very different. In fact, I was talking to Rich, our friend Rich Miller, and he was saying that a woman lobbyist came up to him after the day the letter was published, and she said, "Rich, I've never had so many people shake my hand before." Because
please
nobody,
shake hands. Yeah.
yeah, just shake it. Nobody wanted to. Nobody was
good.
Touching. Nobody was doing
good.
The hug thing.
I don't, you know, unless I come in for a hug, unless it's initiated.
Right.
You know, but even then, I think that women should.
Have you met me? I'm not a touchy-feely person.
Yeah, I think that everyone should
You're
shake
always
hands.
You're grabbing my butt.
I think it establishes a level of professionalism, and I think
totally.
That women need to shake hands. But women need to also establish that, too. Put your hand out, establish that, be professional. I'm not saying that we're, you know, that it's our fault that we invited or anything, you know, but also take the first step so that you don't even cause any confusion.
Well, I think what's somewhat, you know, it's sad and... It's problematic.
We'll still hug Dave. Don't worry. Good.
For so long, women have dealt with this and have just, I think, suppressed it or, you know, whatever. I mean,
laughed it off.
Like from the beginning of time.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, you know.
That's a long time.
Yeah. But, you know, even the conversations you and I have had on this, you know, that was one of the things I thought of with all of this. And I thought, man, I hope that, you know, it's not just these big names that we're hearing about in the news.
Right.
There are a lot of other bad actors.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't mean actors.
And hey,
as
this isn't just in the United States. There have been several major Canadian entertainment personalities that have lost their jobs in the last few days. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And by the way, can we just say Mark Halperin? Ew.
I know there are
four
more that came out
disgusting.
Tonight.
Disgusting.
Yeah, nothing like James Toback's though. Toback cornered
the market.
I haven't
read any of
disgusting.
The James
That's
Toback
just,
stories.
Those are just off the charts. In some respects, they make Weinstein's look minor.
I just don't understand. Who thinks it's a good idea? I just want to know what's going on inside the brain where you go like, hey, I got an idea. I got a heart on here, and I'm going to get a woman to come sit on me, and she's going to, what, be aroused by that? I mean, is this like trolling, and you're hoping that one of these women who comes along is going to be okay with this?
Well, Toback was rubbing up.
And that's,
yeah.
Well,
I've
told you guys about a well-known journalist who, when we were staying on a property of a friend of ours, came into my room in his underwear saying he wanted to cuddle. And I was like, but
yeah.
You have to figure like some like this. I mean, the man's older. Do you figure at some point somebody said yes, so he continues to try, or like men have told me, well, you gotta give the guy, you know, a nod for taking his shots. And it's like,
what?
I'm in my own room, and the guy comes. And by the way, chicken legs, long gnarly toes, and I'm never getting that out of my head. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Coming up after the 12:30 news, more music from Kip Russell. They've got an album dropping on November 6th. It's called Sweet Spot of Life. We heard the first single off of that, Morning Coffee, and there will be locations all over the city. You can get some coffee and donuts with that. We'll find out more about those locations in just a little bit. We were talking before the break about, I guess it's the hashtag Me Too is what everything has come down to. But it is the I'm hearing from more and more men, I think, in particular, about how surprised or how they didn't realize. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was telling him that I have this idea that perhaps when it comes to legislation that has come down in the last few months, legislation about birth control, and that employers don't necessarily have to pay for that. And I've been asking medical professionals, can't we recategorize it as hormone management medication, and then it's nobody's business why we're taking that medication? And I was talking to somebody, he goes, you know what, thank you for thinking of things like that. I thank you for my daughters. And I thought, but there's so many things I've done throughout my career that wasn't enough. When somebody did make a sexual advance or make a comment about, you have a really smoking hot body, you know, and that's like the top of a company who would talk to me about my body and tell me, like, you would cost me a lot in my divorce. Go ahead and complain to HR. You'll have to take a number. And I never put my foot down. And that person went on to work somewhere else. And then there are other women that I'm sure have never come forward. And what did I do to make that stop? You know, I didn't do anything. And there were people, and there was management that knew about it, laughed it off. It was a joke to everybody. Even in the party when he left, he made a joke and said, I'll bet HR is really happy to see me go. And there was never any action taken against him. So it's just very strange. I mean, I don't know what I could have done differently. I think women are reacting in the sense like, cool, I'm glad you guys know about it. But I'm astounded by the reaction that men are having. It's interesting. Well, I know you said it's about being in print.
Well,
but
yeah, I think the power of the written word is you know, is extraordinary. And I think a lot of people have been reading this stuff and have been as shocked as I have. Now, for me, there's a slight personal nature to this because I've met Harvey Weinstein. I've negotiated with him. I tried to buy his company.
Charmer? Was he a charmer?
Kind of gruff. Food on his tie.
Ew.
I mean, you know, one of those type of guys. And
I don't want to think about Harvey and Staines ever. Go ahead.
Oh boy. And I also met James Toback as well. And I admired James Toback. He's an absolute Hollywood legend. He's brilliant. His films are just extraordinary. He's a great writer.
What? I don't know who he is. What does he do?
Writer, director
of
Fingers, Harvard Man, Bugsy. He was nominated for an Academy Award for Bugsy.
That's Benning and
he has a new movie that just premiered at the Venice Film Festival with Alec Baldwin and Sienna Miller that's scheduled to come out. He's well known as a nut and an out there guy. He lived for a long time in the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills, where Harvey also had a lot of fun.
Oh God!
He was very good friends when Warren Beatty was single with Warren Beatty, mm-hmm. And I remember he wrote this well known article back in the early '90s, kind of like a diary about, you know, the $2 million that Warren Beatty had loaned him at one point, which now Warren was getting married, and he needed the money back.
Sure.
And about where's he going to get the money from, because he's also a well-known gambler, and he's not a very successful gambler, may be why he's no longer paying his dues to the Academy and to the Directors Guild.
Wow.
But it's just kind of weird knowing, having seen these guys and met them, and then finding out this sort of depravity, this is different than having extramarital affairs. This is a whole different level.
I know there's an extreme to men that you've met, but there are many men in your life who do these kinds of things. They're just, I mean,
you just don't know it. Yeah.
You just don't know it. I mean, you know, I think there would be at least you said on Facebook today that a lunch that you host every month was, I don't want to sit around. I don't want to sit in a room full of people and talk about it. This is one thing, I guess, to be behind a microphone, but there's something kind of expository, I guess, to do it in front of like a bunch of people that, you know, that one that you don't agree with on a lot of politics and who are kind of cruel in some ways anyway, right, and nasty when it comes to certain things. And you're like, I don't really want to talk about that in front of them. You know?
No, I felt it was important to bring up today. And it was, you know, the lunch I host, you know, there's usually a lot of humor, and yeah, we covered some state politics, and we talked about the governor's commercials and stuff. I sneak previewed that Paquin was going to get into the race for attorney general, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure. But then I brought up the topic, and you know, it was a really good 40-minute respectful conversation in which a lot of women shared their stories. Mm-hmm. Everyone had them. Every yeah. woman had a story.
It raises this whole issue, which I think has had a profound impact, not just on me, but I think on just the entire country, and I think also globally. The question is, why do women feel emboldened now to speak up? I think it's because
I'm going towards the earth.
I think it's because I think it's because of Trump.
Watch out!
I think it's because of President Trump during the in all of what Trump said,
and that those women aren't believed. Let's actually get a good point. Let's talk about that in a few moments because I've got to take a break. More music and news, but I want to talk about that too because the White House press secretary.
Unreal.
What did she say today?
I think about more after this on 720 WGN. Oh, God. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in our Allstate Showcase studio. It is Friday, and we freak out a little bit about all the things that are going out in the news and everything that's going on in the world, actually. So we sort of mix in a little bit of music. I want to thank Aubrey, our engineer, for making sure that our musicians sound great on the air as they do in studio. Here is our guest, Kip Russell. He's got an album coming out on November 6th called Sweet Spot of Life. Here's the single from that called Grateful.
Da 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 da, I'm grateful. Da 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 da, I'm grateful. Da 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 da, I'm grateful. Da 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 da, I'm grateful. Just waking up, thanking God for another day. My wife looking fly, cooking eggs. That reminds me of a time when I went away. It's funny when you're gone, how you wanna stay. I'm never gonna leave you cause I need you. Cheering for me like you in the bleachers. Baby, you sweet like peaches. I'ma take you home and admire all your features.
Hey!
Da 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 da, I'm grateful. Da 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 da, I'm grateful. Da 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 da, I'm grateful. Yeah. Da da da. Da da da, I'm grateful.
Yeah, yeah. I got a fridge full of cold beers and a couple of my friends coming over here. If you want a barbecue, man, grow a beard. Cause no matter where you're from, it's colder here. And it grows on you over the years. And it's sweeter every time that we all say cheers. Catch a little buzz and it all gets clear. Why I'm grateful. Staying humble like a bumblebee. Cause these haters out here try to trouble me. Number one for subtlety. That's why I got two words printed on my t-shirt. I'm grateful. Yeah.
Da, 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 I'm grateful. Da 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 da, da, I'm grateful. Da 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 da, da, I'm grateful. Da 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 da, da, I'm grateful. If you got a roof over your head, be grateful. If you got a little bread, be grateful, be grateful. If you got someone who loves you, be grateful, be grateful. And if you got the blues, be grateful that they do.
Yeah.
I'm grateful.
All right.
Yeah. Kip Russell with Grateful. God, that was so much fun. We need that. We need a little bit of that.
You gotta be grateful.
All the stuff that we talk about on this show, we have to remind ourselves, okay, there's so much to be grateful for. You said that there are going to be free coffee and donuts throughout the...
Yeah, free coffee and donuts.
For that, that's for sure.
Any Beaver's coffee and donut truck you see around the food trucks around the city are giving away free coffee and donuts. We're giving away free coffee and prize packs online with Metropolis Coffee and Beaver's. And then at Beaver's locations, which are located without the city, we're going to be having like a big party at the one in the Union Station, and free coffee donuts for anybody
cool.
who's going to be there.
And what website should we go to find out where that's happening?
The sweetspotoflife.com or any of my social media sites.
The sweetspotoflife.com. And what's the social media stuff?
Kid Russell, at Kid Russell, anywhere you go. KIDDRUSSELL.
Excellent. And you were saying that you're from Springfield originally.
Correct.
Yeah. We're talking about Springfield. I spent a lot of time down there. When you go home, mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you actually have a horseshoe? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, man. Like, you do a horseshoe, and you're done for about a month and a half.
A month and a half?
Yeah, so you're on the couch for a month and a half, paralyzed. And
where's your favorite place to get a horseshoe?
Well, the traditional place is Darcy's Pint.
Okay, Darcy's Pint.
But there's several hole-in-the-wall places that probably do it better.
Do you like Obed and Isaac? Not just for your horseshoe.
I was just there a couple days ago.
So good.
Just there on Saturday.
Their blonde...
blonde ale?
Blonde ale is...
Or no, Ditzy Blonde, Dirty Blonde, something like that.
Yeah, they have a blonde that's really good. They have a good sour, too, but they only have that certain times of the year. Yeah, that's a great destination, is Obed and Isaac's.
For sure.
What is it like growing up in a town where it's all tourists coming in just to see Abraham Lincoln stuff?
Honestly, that part's kind of abstracted from you.
Is it?
You're just involved in the Springfield life, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, for me and a lot of people, you're not really downtown.
Right.
That's more, you know, downtown's business. It's politics, et cetera. And that's where all the tourism is.
Sure.
You know, and a couple other places. But, you know, where we all live, you know, when you're a resident of Springfield.
It's an Illinois town.
You're just not by that stuff. So you just do your thing and
right.
have a little fun like you need to.
Exactly. And, kid, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Deerfield up north.
And Deerfield up north. Yeah. Where'd you go to high school?
Deerfield High School, 2 years of college and military school, and then living out in Los Angeles. Used to work for MTV.
Oh,
casting
really?
Reality shows back in the day, so I know
What reality show was the most fun to cast?
One called Tail Daters, when people would go on the show and, like, text people while they're on the date. I actually had to do the show to get the job. So I was on an episode of Tail Daters, one of the funniest things I've ever done in my life. But they hired me literally the next day.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, it was great.
How'd you like living in LA compared to living in the Chicagoland area?
So LA's got a crazy amount of energy and it's like a ton of fun. But I think I just come back and I feel like I'm at home, you know?
Right.
So
I don't, can you spend time in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Whenever I leave LA, I never feel like, oh, I wish I could stay a little longer. Like I've never.
It's great to go for business. And
I mean, I like it. I love the weather. I love the ocean. Yeah. Love the mountains. But it's not Midwest.
Have you had a chance, Dave, to visit Los Angeles many times?
You know, I love the West Coast. I do. And I often go through this period when I'm in Chicago, as much as I am a Midwesterner, where I'm like, damn, I wish the mountains were closer.
Interesting.
You know, I'm a skier.
Okay.
And I hate having to get on a plane to...
You say Wisconsin doesn't do it for you, little Alpine
valleys? The 600 vertical feet that you have to drive 5 hours for really kind of loses something of the translation. And
fair enough.
So every time I go to the West Coast, I mean, I love the oceans and I love the mountains.
You and your topography.
And I would never want to live there.
Exactly. Well, you need a summer home there. You need a timeshare.
Or something, yeah.
Something like that. How about you, Eric? Do you spend any time in L.A.?
I did a layover last week.
Yeah. From Honolulu or from Hawaii, no less.
And so I had about 2.5-3 hours to kill, so made a quick little run at In-N-Out Burger.
You got to do
it. That's all you need.
Right off the plane.
Yeah. They have more than their fair share of quick burger joints.
Like In-N-Out
Burger, and there's a whole bunch of
them. What's the other
ones? They're all overrated. I'm sorry. Everybody told me how awesome In-N-Out
Burger
was, and I went out there.
I thought
like,
the exact same thing.
Right?
Yeah. I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah. They're no better or worse than anything you could find in Chicago.
Exactly.
I just don't know how they're better than Steak and Shake. I just don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I was bummed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have Steak and Shake in Chicago?
Yeah. There's the suburbs. Yeah.
But
I think like just on the edges of Chicago. Like I know there's one on Toohey. Isn't there one on Toohey?
No, it's Oakton.
Oakton. I was close.
It's
Oakton. You
McCormick.
And I thought of the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
The same one.
I just
had
Shake Shack for the first time, and
it's good.
It lived up to the hype. So
yeah, I
really
agree.
You think so?
Shake Shack.
Because I got a Shake Shack next to my office downtown, and we went there right after it opened, and I'm like, I'm paying how much for this little teeny shake, and it's no better than Steak and Shake.
But the burger, we're talking about the
burger. I hope they're not an advertiser.
Not anymore. But the burger. We're not talking about this.
Yeah,
you know,
Wendy's is better.
I haven't had the burger.
Wendy's
I like their...
is good. Who said Wendy's?
He said it.
Wendy's is good.
That's a bold statement.
I am so hungry right now.
Fun fact, Steak and Shake has horseshoes in Springfield.
Oh.
Fun fact.
Whoa.
What is a
horseshoe?
Fun confession, I've never had a horseshoe.
You only need one.
Like I said, it's a month and a half. You're out of commission.
Yeah, you have to eat anything else for a month and a half.
Right, exactly.
Stuff. We've been having so much fun with you guys, Kid Russell. I want to thank you. You have to let your dad off the hook. He's watching the baby, watching Riley. So thank you so much. We'd love to have you in studio again.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Again, the album is dropping on November 6th. Go to kidrussell.com. That's two D's, two L's, two S's, I'm guessing.
All two of everything.
All of except for and thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks for having us, guys. Appreciate it.
Free donuts and coffee. Go to kidrussell.com. Find out where that's happening on November 6th for the album that's dropping, Sweet Spot of Life. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I want to thank Susan Dannenberger for the amazing wines she provides for our Wine and Wine Down on Friday during the Freak Out Friday. So there's a lot to talk about. I was kind of struck when I heard Ro Khan talk about George H.W. Bush and the stories coming out that he had sexually assaulted a couple of women during photo opportunities. And when someone touches you without your permission, when they grab your behind, when they touch your breast, when they do things to your body that you do not give them permission for, that's assault. I'm sorry, it's sexual assault. And he was saying it's not the same thing because he has dementia. He has what is he battling right now? He's 93 years old. I'm not sure exactly does he have Alzheimer's? Well, everyone's saying because he's older, it's not the same thing.
Why do we have to make excuses?
Well, not only that, but I mean, like the woman who is touched, it doesn't. I mean, it's the same sensation of being violated from her, right? And then everyone around him has said, "Oh yeah, well, you shouldn't have gotten too close to him, or he does that." I don't understand what's happening. Go ahead, Eric.
No, you hit on it. The folks who are working with him or around him know exactly what he does.
Right.
And, you know, rather than laugh or say, well, you shouldn't stand that close, no, maybe he shouldn't do that.
Right. Well, here's the thing. When somebody does something, we say they have a mental illness. We still prosecute. We still, if they have a mental illness, if they have a disability, across the country, people are prosecuted and convicted of doing crimes when they also have a mental illness. And if we're going to say that age somehow, that doesn't make you somehow outside the boundaries of the law.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. And it doesn't matter.
Can I read the statement that the Bush folks put out? Because this is kind of an extraordinary statement. Statement was from a guy named Jim McGrath on behalf of President Bush. At age 93, President Bush has been confined to a wheelchair for roughly 5 years. So his arm falls on the lower waist of people with whom he takes pictures. To try to put people at ease, the president routinely tells the same joke. And on occasion, he has patted women's rears in what he intended to be a good-natured manner. Some have seen it as innocent. Others clearly viewed it as inappropriate. To anyone he has offended, President Bush apologizes most sincerely.
To anyone I've offended, I apologize. The lamest apology ever. I'm sorry.
I give them credit for creativity in the statement.
Right.
Yeah.
Roe was defending him?
Yeah, Roe was saying it's not the same thing. It's not. We can't get angry because he's older. He's ill. And it's all the same thing. I don't know if Roe changed his mind throughout the conversation, but I was like, okay.
I got to say, what the Friday?
What the Friday? I don't understand either. But when you have right now, the current administration with a press secretary, you know, everyone was very adamant that Democrats came out and said that Harvey Weinstein is a demon and monstrous and the Democrats should give their money back. And it was a lot of conservatives. But I was trying to figure out, like, last year when women were coming out and saying that they were victims of sexual assault from Donald Trump, it was that they were liars. And today, the press secretary, Huckabee Sanders, said, indeed, that is the stance of the White House, that every single one of the women is a liar.
Well, you understand the reason why she's saying that, because only Democrats commit sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Only Democrats sexually harass. If you watch Fox News, that's what you think.
It's bizarre.
You would have no idea that the founder of the network, Roger Ailes, was kicked out for doing that.
And Bill O'Reilly had to pay $34 million in settlements.
The guy who really ran the network, you know, walked the halls and ran the network day to day. I mean, it's extraordinary, but you'd never hear about that, ever.
Right.
But boy, you hear about Harvey Weinstein.
Right. Well, so, and there is the groper in chief. I mean, there is Donald Trump, you know.
Who actually said it himself. The thing is,
exactly.
He said it himself, that when you're rich, you can just do that to women. That you can just grab them and you can move on them like a bitch.
See, I think
the words came out of his face.
I think some of the stuff he said on the bus was male puffery, but it came from somewhere with truth. In other words, made up out of whole cloth.
But it was written off as locker room talk. And even the people who say that were people, I'm like, I don't even imagine you say things like that it's okay to grab a woman by her vagina.
Correct. There were a whole bunch of us, Dave, Eric, myself, and some other friends of ours, we all started texting each other going, have you ever said that in a locker room? No.
Or heard it.
We'd never heard it in a locker room
never
either.
Never heard a guy say that. Never said it.
No.
And so when some women would defend Trump by saying, oh, that's just how men talk. And then we would say,
no, it's not.
No, not really. No. And then you had pro athletes saying, no, we don't actually say that in the locker room.
No, I can say I've been in a lot of locker rooms and I've had lots of discussions with men about women and never, ever, ever did it ever go into that area.
Now,
ever.
Mind you, in defense, I've never been in a locker room with Mark Halperin.
That's
so,
Yes, Eric.
Oh, gosh.
No, to be clear, I mean, this cuts across. I mean, we've been experiencing this for a while, and again, it goes back to people in power, you know, whether it was President Clinton, whether it was President Kennedy. I mean, it's you know, look at all the members in the Congress. I mean, there's been so many different members of Congress who have had, you know, children with their you know, having an affair and have a love child. Mm-hmm. It happens quite a bit. I mean, it's happened in Springfield. It is.
Is it weird sometimes when I'm in Springfield and I know someone's having an affair and they stand up and they talk about morals creepy. It's the creepiest thing.
So it's such a double standard.
It is.
You know what they say and what they do. It's almost like they have, you know, two beings. You know, they're their public figure and then their private figure. And they don't really mesh.
This is what happened with me and Reverend Jackson when I, you know, and I walked down on Reverend Jackson and his administrative, his office person running his Washington, D.C. office. And I found them in bed together. And then the next day, Reverend's giving a speech about morals and stuff. And I'm standing there going, I'm having a weird experience. I've got to leave. And I decided then and there I was quitting. I looked at him totally differently.
Really?
It took me about 6 weeks. Yeah. But I exited.
You couldn't be a part of that?
No.
But when you have the White House, the press secretary, making a full-on statement that all the women accusing the president of sexual assault full-on liars, just flat-out saying they're liars.
It's one more thing that they lie about.
Come on. The podium of the White House in this administration is just about lies. And, I mean, look... oh my God! I forgot his name already. What was the name of the guy Melissa McCarthy mocks?
Spicer.
Thank you, Spicy. So you know, Spicy would get up there from literally day one, largest crowd ever for an inaugural, and you're like,
so weird.
Let's get photos. Look, who are you gonna believe, me or?
And then they still argued it,
right? Yeah. But and then now, I mean, you listen to Huckabee Sanders, and I watch those things sometimes, and I just shake my head, going like, you are just telling enormous, ginormous lies.
I'm surprised she didn't say all those women didn't even have vaginas. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We have we've devoted an hour to a story that I think has been forefront because it's a conversation that is happening all over the country, and in regards to the hashtag #MeToo and hashtag No More. And I think it's time for us to take look at some of the other stories that are going on right now in the news. And Ken Jakubowski, who is the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises, said, I want to talk about the indictment. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So go ahead, Ken, and tell us about the indictment. I don't know what this is.
Well, we have our first indictment from the Robert Mueller investigation. Now, we have no idea who it is, no idea what it's about. Nobody out there who, of course, is following this, which means everybody listening to this program, should draw any conclusions about the Mueller investigation from what we learn in the next 72 to 96 hours. In other words, the person indicted or the charges that are filed really don't say, don't draw anything into that in terms of the overall investigation. It means nothing. I think what it means most probably is following Mueller's historical pattern that we discussed here with Enron, he's trying to get leverage over somebody to get him to talk.
So letting the news out that there is an indictment coming is a way to get people a little bit rattled, do you think?
Well, the indictment's has been handed down by the grand jury. It was just sealed.
Correct.
It's supposed to be unsealed on Monday, apparently, or something.
Yeah, well, the attorneys will be notified this weekend.
Right.
And the reason why indictments are done under seal is usually there is a fear of flight. So in this case, whomever the person is that's being indicted or persons, there is a fear that they will flee the country and go wherever they go.
Right, right.
So the lawyers have been aware that something was coming down, and now they're going to find out specifically. The lawyers this weekend will be notified. The particular lawyers in this case will be notified that their client or clients were indicted, and they'll make arrangements to turn themselves in probably Monday or Tuesday. And we should learn the specifics Monday or Tuesday. But we don't know anything about it, but you can, by watching the president this week, you may be able to draw some conclusions.
What has he been doing? That to,
well, he's been running around telling everybody
how
especially
smart he
today,
is. The first
that
thing.
He's been cleared from collusion, which tells me that. See,
but he doesn't understand what an indictment of somebody else means.
No, no. Actually, to the contrary. See, he, under the statute, special counsel has to inform Rosenstein, who is the, I think it's the deputy attorney general, Dave.
Right.
And he's the person who's overseeing the entire investigation. He has to inform him whenever there's been a substantive change or development in the case. So there's no question. That guy knows exactly who was indicted. And he knows what the charges are. Rosenstein does. So the question is, I'm wondering if he has told the president, and it's not about collusion, it's about something else. And so the president's running around saying, I'm free of collusion.
But I think that it's been very clear this week. I actually woke up this morning really depressed.
Oh.
And I was really depressed because watching the big lie unfold this week in coordination between Fox News and the White House and the president's tweets over the, oh, my God, opposition paid for opposition research. This is the real Russia collusion story.
Correct.
And the new full-scale assaults on Mueller and a whole lot of this other
smoke
and mirrors.
Yeah, I was trying to figure all that out.
And it was so disturbing that, oh, my God, the big lie is working on at least some subset of the American people. And yet it all makes sense now because they knew this was coming.
Well, sure.
They've been softening us up, and they were trying to create an enormous distraction because they knew that now, once you have actual indictments, an actual grand jury indicting an actual human being over actual charges, it becomes harder to fire Mueller, and it becomes harder to say, oh, this is all just a bunch of hooey.
Well, and we've talked about before on the show the president, the White House knows 3 or 4 days before a big story is coming. And so you can watch by the president's tweets and why sometimes out of the blue, he'll just start tweeting nastily about something. Well, he's heard and he knows something is coming in the next few days and there's a reaction to it.
There's a frenzy.
So this week there's been a big pushback against Mueller. Against the investigation, against the Democrats who were the second people to pay for the opposition research. The first was the conservative
Free
website.
Beacon.
Yeah, Free
yes,
Beacon.
Free Beacon.
Who initially got the ball rolling.
Eric, as a conservative, first of all, because I don't follow MSNBC, I don't follow Fox News, I actually don't watch any of the like CNN, none of it. Like I get my morning news from WGN TV morning news, I get a lot of it from here on WGN, and also I read a lot more written journalism than I have ever before in my life. I maybe it's because of what Ken's talking about when you're reading it and going through it and seeing what they've collected. What are you following, and what is your sense of this as a conservative who's trying to wrap your arms around the situation?
Well, so I do the same. I look at, you know, there's a number of different publications I'll go through and read in the morning. I look at, you know, I get the briefs from Politico and different things like that just to kind of like set the tone for the day, whether it's, you know, DC stuff, whether it's city or state stuff. But I think that the issue is, I think to Ken's point, they know something's coming. They're trying to distract. The one thing that I have a difficulty with is the Republican Congress continually pushing for more investigations of their own on the Hillary stuff and things like that.
Well, but
Eric, it's a delay tactic. It's nobody wants to govern, you know.
Yeah, what's happening there?
We are not getting, you know, we completely messed up on trying to do a fix on ACA. This whole notion on this tax bill, you know, it's almost as if the president is negotiating against himself or something. Well, the stuff they did on
SALT. You know, I was surprised tonight when the indictment came down because, you know, obviously indictment, it's a seismic change in everything that's been going on.
Somebody's going to get picked up Monday morning.
Monday morning, someone's getting picked up. But there are two things this week that happened that made me think something big was coming. First, the release of the Kennedy documents. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Of all the things to put out there, holy smokes. People have been talking about that in this country since November 22nd, 1963.
Well, especially the document that showed that Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz's dad were on the grassy knoll in Dallas and were the actual killers of Kennedy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And Bill Clinton was actually up in the book depository, right? And then the second one was the investigation into Hillary. It looked as if there was so much stuff that was happening external that it was an absolute coordinated effort to distract and to change the subject from something.
Right.
So I knew something was coming. Question was what? Well, now tonight we know somebody's getting indicted. We don't know what for, but somebody's getting indicted.
How long ago did this break?
About 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah. Okay, that's why
CNN
didn't know anything.
And again, caution everybody out there. You know, don't read anything one way or another into this.
Right.
We don't know. A sealed
envelope is a sealed envelope.
We don't know who's being indicted. We don't know what the charges are. This will be the first of many, many charges. 31 folks were indicted in the Reagan administration. There were, I think, 40.
Is that Iran-Contra?
Iran-Contra, and there were a couple of other things, too, if you recall.
There were a lot of indictments in the Reagan administration. Yep. What people don't remember about Ronald Reagan's administration is a heck of a lot of people got investigated and went to jail.
31.
For all kinds of crimes.
Okay, let's...
And 43 under the Clinton administration.
Before I go to the break, I was asking Eric, as a conservative, where he gathers his news. As liberals, where do you guys grab you? I mean, and Ken, you seem more middle of the road than...
Well, I read New York Times, Washington Post, L.A. Times, Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, Detroit News, Detroit Free Press.
So yours is all print journalism?
Print, and of course, MSNBC and CNN.
Okay.
But I think it's really important because, especially with New York Times, last week I sent some articles around... You know, there's guys like Brett Stevens who write at New York Times, who's a conservative. You know, you don't necessarily have to agree with what you're reading, but I think it's good to at least challenge yourself to, like, that mindset of what they're writing. You know, I think you need to read things that you may not agree with.
Absolutely.
So you're not just in this echo chamber.
Everyone.
It forces you to, like, think about the other side. And not enough people are doing that.
Yeah. The two people I seek out always are George Will and Peggy Noonan.
Absolutely.
They always make me think. I disagree with them most of the time, but I learn from everything that they write. I learn something.
I learn what's important.
They make me smarter.
See, I listen to other talk shows and don't tell anybody at WGN that I'm listening to anybody else when anybody else is on. But I listen to this Larry Levine. Is that his name? Or Levine? Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I listen to him and I listen to Sean Hannity and I read.
Oh, my God. You listen to Sean Hannity?
I want to know what's important to everybody. And I listen to some of Rachel Maddow. I want to know what's important to everybody.
Well, the other thing I do is and Dave has chastised me this for years.
Oh, God, Drudge.
I look at the Drudge Report several times a day because that sets the right-wing talk show agenda.
Yes, it's a memo talking point.
It's amazing. Yeah. You'll go right from there to a right-wing talk show, and you'll see they're reading it right off of Drudge.
Yep.
When I want to move stuff, though, I'll give it to him.
So. Of course.
Dave, where do you get your news?
I get my news from the Communist Party.
Knew it.
Whatever we knew it.
Whatever
we
they
suspected.
Say, I'm watching.
Comrade, we suspected
that. I'm asking you a question.
That.
I'm not asking what the texters say about you.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Thank you. No, you know, it's interesting because I read a ton of stuff, but it's not like I go through the New York Times. I then go through the Wall. I read the Wall Street Journal in the morning. But I have to tell you, the best news aggregator ever is Twitter, because Twitter,
and that's why he tweets.
You look at Twitter for 10 minutes and you've got whatever you missed. You're like, oh, did Trump just say something crazy?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Or like this, the story about Whitefish Energy, the company that got the $300 million
without any accounting
contract,
without any sort of transparency.
Oh my
whatsoever.
God, this is the most insane bit of government accountability malfeasance. So for those who don't know, I just real quickly, Puerto Rico, as you know, is still without power. 73%, I think, was the latest number that's still without power 6 weeks after the hurricane. The Puerto Rico gave a contract worth $300 million to a friend of the Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, a company called Whitefish Energy. The company on Election Day had two full-time employees, and they got a $300 million contract to rebuild the energy system. But they're paying these exorbitant rates, like $300, $400 an hour to a lineman. And they're giving them like $400 allowances per day for food, which is insane. And the contracts that they have basically say the Puerto Rican government has no accountability. You can't question their rates. You can't question their profits. You can't question their lack of work. It's just astonishing. And so with respect to the texter who's like, is everyone at WGN flaming liberals? Well, Eric is a Republican.
Most of the hosts are not liberals. I'm not going to go through and give you a list, but I assure you that my friends and people that I know, and I'm sorry, but WGN, no. I'm going to have to answer that flatly. No.
I consider myself an American.
Flaming. By the way, what does flaming mean? If we're having s'mores, then I'm all about it. More after this on 720 WGN.
The implications of this abandonment are profound, and the beneficiaries of this rather radical departure in the American approach to the world are the ideological enemies of our values. Despotism loves a vacuum, and our allies are now looking elsewhere for leadership. Why are they doing this? None of this is normal. And what do we, as United States senators, have to say about it? The principles that underlie our politics, the values of our founding, are too vital to our identity and to our survival to allow them to be compromised by the requirements of politics. Because politics can make us silent when we should speak, and silence can equal complicity. I have children and grandchildren to answer to, and so, Mr. President, I will not be complicit or silent. I've decided that I would be better able to represent the people of Arizona and to better serve my country and my conscience by freeing myself of the political consideration that consumed far too much bandwidth and would cause me to compromise far too many principles. To that end, I am announcing today that my service in the Senate will conclude at the end of my term in early January 2019.
A remarkable speech given on the floor in Washington, D.C. I don't know, you know, people were talking about how this is a defining moment, and yet it feels like it already went away because everything else happens. It's just sort of, it's swallowed up by the next tweet, the next story. And I wanted to ask Eric, because my father was a lifelong Republican, but when it came down to issues that were important to him, when he saw that things weren't going the right way, he voted differently. I have voted for both Republicans and Democrats in my entire life. I follow policy. I follow voting record. I follow what I am drawn to by somebody who I think is a leader. John McCain was my candidate in 2000. And I was disappointed when things went south for him in South Carolina, when there was opposition campaigning and calling that was racially motivated and disgusting. We can go through the whole thing. But, you know, what do you think when you hear Senator Flake give that speech?
I think that I wished he had given that speech before he was announcing that he was retiring.
Right, because what's the point almost? I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, the other kind of quote from his speech was, you know, he said, "Reckless, outrageous, and undignified behavior has become excused and if featured as telling it like it is when it actually is just reckless and outrageous and undignified. And when such behavior emanates from the top of our government, it is something else. It's dangerous to our democracy. And I think those words, you know, are telling. And I think that if a lot of folks, if you think about that, and look at what's going on, like I said, I wished he had done that before he just announced he was going to retire. I mean, he's in a bad spot.
Right.
He's, you know, his numbers are really in the tank in Arizona. There's no way he would have won re-election. But right now in the Senate, you basically have Corker, who's not running again, McCain and Flake willing to stand up to the president. And it's an interesting coalition that hopefully will continue to build. I think Susan Collins from Maine, she's a moderate Republican and has stood her ground on things. I think she'll be part of that coalition, as will potentially Murkowski from Alaska.
You don't have to be a liberal or a flaming liberal or a commie to say this is not normal. I don't think that this doesn't seem partisan. This seems right. Like enough people can go, this is not how we lead. This is not who we are as Americans.
Well, you're elected to a high office. You know, in the Senate, there are only 100 senators for the country. And I think that you have to put country ahead of party, any party, any of these institutions. And I think that too often folks are elected and are so heavy partisan. I mean, you know, when you look at Flake's breakdown, I mean, he's considered a conservative. He'd voted with Trump about 91-92% of the time, and that wasn't enough.
He has a 96% lifetime rating from the American Conservative Union. 96%.
Yeah, I mean, the day for that
this
speech.
Guy is this conservative, and this you know, this one of these angry texters is texting out that you know, Flake isn't he's a fake Republican. It's like, no, these people are not fake Republicans.
Clearly,
John McCain is not a fake Republican.
They've clearly dialed in on their tinfoil hat to Trump's, channel, and are listening to what Trump is tweeting out on the, you know, the crazy channel. I mean, that's insane.
Right.
I mean, it's not fair. And
Trump is not a conservative. He was a Democrat.
Well, right. And when you talk about, you know, being a leader, being elected to higher office and represent and serving the people, the president of the United States is a clear example of somebody who, and everything he says divides. He is not leading Americans. You know, and maybe people saw Obama or they saw George Bush as people who were divisive, however you say it. I whatever party you're in, we still saw them as leaders, and this is not a leader. We have a Mike on the line who wants to offer something. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Yeah, you're all talking about this guy Flake, and he was talking about he don't want to compromise his principles. This guy is a senator in the United States Senate, which means he takes, I guess, at least $5 million a year in bribe money. Only thing is, he calls it campaign contributions.
How is that different, Mike? Mike, how is that different from other candidates who take? How is that different from other candidates who take money and donations for their campaigns? How is that different from other candidates or other politicians who take campaign donations?
Who said it was different? I didn't say it was different.
Okay,
I said he was talking about he didn't want to compromise his principles. But somehow taking $5 million in bribe money, he doesn't think that's compromising his principles.
Okay.
Just because he calls it campaign contributions. He says, oh, it's not a bribe.
So, Mike.
These people spend $30, $40, $50 million to get elected for a six-year term.
Mike. Who's your guy? Okay. So who are the people that you admire that are in leadership positions right now?
I told you I will not submit to your domination trip. If you got something to say to me, get on your hind legs and speak. Don't ask me questions. Well, I'm not saying
I just want an example. If we're going to have a conversation, it helps me have the conversation with you because you've said.
I don't want to have a conversation when all you want to do is ask questions, and I'm supposed to answer. I will not submit to your bullying or your domination trip.
Mike?
If that's something you want to say to me, speak in sentences and in periods.
Mike, then there are no, according to you, there are no. No one in office right now has any moral ground to stand on. Not a single one.
No. According to me, there's 536 people in the Congress and the presidency who take millions of dollars a year in bribe money and sodomize the rest of us.
There
That's
you go.
That's how they pay their bribe money.
Everyone lube up. More for this on 720 WGN.
Kick off.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I don't know why I like this jam. Super little superstition. Little superstition. During the news, Roger Badish has reported that former Governor Quinn has announced he is running for Attorney General. How many people are? Well, you know, I guess maybe it's like, okay, let's go around the room. Are you running for Attorney General for Illinois?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
That was my announcement, by
Eric
the way.
Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. Are
I am not, but I think it's great that Erica Harold is, and she announced before Lisa Madigan got out.
Kendrick Gabowski, president and CEO of Sirius Enterprise. Are you running for Attorney General?
No.
Okay, I am not either. Patty Vasquez, not running. Dave Lundy, you said no as the president of...
No, actually, I said yes. I
said yes of
but you know what?
Communications.
I've rethought that. Yeah. I'm not going to run.
Yeah, no. Well...
Is that because Pat Quinn entered the race, he scared you out?
He did. Ooh. He scared me out, yeah. You know what? Now that you mention it, since Pat's in, no, I'm in. I am so in. I am going to whip... Oh, never mind.
So many people.
I have an exploratory committee that's exploring whether or not they want to establish an exploratory committee.
Fair enough. I think that's wise.
So it's an exploring...
Exploring.
Whether they should form
it's a bunch of explorers.
Yeah. I'd like to explore.
You know,
I'd like to explore the moon.
Do you use one of those metal detectors where you look for coins on the beach? Is that what you use to explore?
Yes.
It goes back and forth. Should I run first?
With I prefer up to their head and see if it beeps. I prefer a divining rod. Just
Why
is Pat running?
Yeah.
You mean why is a former governor deciding he's going to jump down the ticket instead of up the ticket?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Look, Pat has needed to be in the news. Pat needs to be relevant. He has run in every single election cycle, every 4 years, for 30 plus years.
Really?
Yeah. He's been running every election cycle since the 80s.
I think his slogan should be Pat Quinn, messing up state government one office at a time.
Wow. He's only not. I mean, he was treasurer. Oh, he ran for Secretary of State and he lost to George Ryan. He ran for governor. He ran for lieutenant governor. I think the only thing he did not run for is comptroller. Okay. So now he's going to run for attorney general. You know, it's one of those moments of, Pat, how can we miss you if you don't go away?
Well, what has he been doing? Now, pardon my ignorance, but
interestingly, Ken,
you know,
it's funny you asked this question. So when Pat ran against Bruce Rauner, he wound up with almost $1 million in his campaign accounts. And he's been spending it for the last 3 years. He spent about $500,000. It went from his accounts went from about $760,000 down to $230,000. I don't know what he's been spending it on. There was a time he was going to do this petition thing. He's hired, you know, he's got these people he's kept on his payroll.
He mows his own grass.
He mows his own grass, exactly.
I saw that in his ads. God.
So, I in full disclosure, I am helping run a campaign for one of the other candidates in the race.
Did you see that?
Jesse Ruiz.
Jesse Ruiz?
And I'm also friends with another candidate, with Renato, who you just had on the show the
other
day.
Renato Mariotti, who is a former prosecutor.
Yes.
Kwame is also running.
Kwame is also running. Highland Park, former Highland Park Mayor Nancy Rotering is running.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Scott Drury is running as well.
Yes. There are actually, what's funny is that Scott Drury, always his claim to fame is that he's a former federal prosecutor. And he's got to be really sad because there's three former federal prosecutors that are in this race now.
He does.
Cab driver's running.
Is he a former federal prosecutor?
Yes.
No, he's not. He's a cab driver, but he said he's going to run.
Yeah.
So I'm all for the guy.
So, seven candidates. Pat makes eight. Mm-hmm. Eight is enough.
They're all polling at like 3%. What's your guy? I think is it like 3%?
According to the poll that Pat ran, but it had some candidates who aren't actually in the race, and it didn't have candidates who are in the race, but Pat was at 28. And it's these kind of polls are name recognition.
Yeah, when you run your own poll and you just got in the race and you're pulling out in front of everybody,
it's all name recognition.
Well, I mean, he was the governor of the state. Of course, he's polling on
and it's
top.
An Irish name. Let's play What's That From? So it is Governor Quinn. We wish you the very best, but
I don't
go away. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean just just no, don't do this.
I got quinitis.
Quinitis.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Pat placed a lot of my friends worked in that administration in top jobs, but a lot of the second tier jobs mm-hmm. were just schlock people. Mm-hmm. People who were just not good at their jobs, and the notion of putting those people.
It does a fundraiser every year, and I didn't get a chance to actually go with them. It was actually closed when we got there, so we walked around and we picked our pumpkins out from the other side of the fence. But I've been doing this since Griffin was 2 years old. I've been taking it to the exact same, like, we've never gone to, like, all the out in the farms and things. I always love the idea because it was like a small little patch of, you know, small meaty. We always like had like we get one pumpkin for each person. We get like little mini ones, each one in the house, and even for our dog Monty and for my mom and for everyone, you know, in our family. And then we would get and Steve goes, okay, now we always gotta get a tall skinny one and a short fatty. And Griffin goes, I think that we need to change the way we say that, Daddy. I think we should get one that's big boned. It's just fun to watch the sort of evolution of those adventures. Tell me something good, Dave.
You know, as I told you, I started the day feeling kind of depressed, but I ended the day before coming here, of course, with family karaoke night at the Joe Breck Lundy House.
I want to come sometime.
It was just great watching my boys do their thing. And, you know, Max is very shy. My young one's very shy. So when we go out to this club we go to locally that does family karaoke night, he never performs.